You are listening to the Team Flower Podcast. This is where we talk about flowers with people who've dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. We have all kinds of guests. Today, our special guest is my friend Laura Helm with Ashton Events. She is located down in Lakeland, Florida. I didn't introduce myself. My name's Kelly. Hello. It's so nice to be here and be your host. And with my husband and Jesse and I, we have got Team Flower going and off the ground. And thanks to our wonderful team, Janine and Megan and Jacelyn and Amanda and so many people who will pop in to be a part of our team for events and special things like that. They are the ones who have made it possible for me to be here with you today. And I just want to say a big thank you to them and a big thank you to you for being here. And of course, to our special guest, Laura. Let me tell you a little bit about her before we get started with our interview today. She has got a full service event planning, design, and floral company. So she's doing all the logistics, all the design related to the event, and then she's doing flowers along with that. She attended one of our Team Flower workshops early on, and that was around the time that she was wanting to add florals to her business. And so she has gone and she's done that very successfully. And I just wanted to bring her on and chat a little bit more about her story and her process. She has so many great things to share. She, a little bit about her background, she graduated with a degree in public relations with a special events emphasis. And just about 6 months after she was working in the corporate world of events, she found herself longing for something a little bit more creative. Maybe you can relate. So she opened Ashton Events in 2010, and she has been on what she calls a wild ride of entrepreneurship ever since, and has recently expanded into a new office with a floral studio and all those kinds of things in the fall of 2017. So in this episode, she is sharing how she decided to start her business, how she started walking in alignment with her heart so that her business could be sustainable, and in advocating for her clients. So we're chatting about also the necessity of making hard decisions on event day and how to combine grace for yourself and your team with gumption while you navigate some pretty stressful situations. Laura, I think, is somebody who I just really feel as I've watched her work, and she's actually come back and she's helped me plan for workshops and conferences. And one of the reasons why I really love working with Laura is because she does carry a really sweet peace with her on event days in the midst of all of the quick things that are happening. And I just feel like that she has so much to share with our community, and she can just encourage you and bring a bright spot to your day as she always does. So I'm really excited to welcome her today. Podcast brought to you by Team Flower. If you're new here, we're an online support community dedicated to educating, connecting, and empowering flower lovers worldwide. So we have online classes, in-person events, free weekly resources designed to support you in your journey with flowers. So it doesn't matter if you're a professional, you just love flowers, maybe you're thinking about, is this an industry that I want to get into? Are these my people? The podcast is a great way to sort of explore that a little bit more with no risk at all. This is a completely free thing that we offer to the world. So anyway, that's a little bit about us and what we do. If you're new here, know that we are excited to have you, and that there is a place for you at this table, no matter where you are in your journey. And you can get a hold of those resources and get the notes from today's show and links and images and all those kinds of things that go along with what we're chatting about over at teamflower.org. You can just click on the podcast section, and you'll find articles that correspond with all of the podcasts that we post. All right, without any further ado, let me introduce you to my friend Laura. Laura, welcome to the podcast. It is so great to have you here. I am delighted to talk with you today, my friend.
I am so excited to be here.
So I wanted to ask you on the podcast because you are an event planner offering florals. You've been doing it for a long time. Young, but you've been doing it for quite a long time now. And I just know that you have such a wealth of wisdom and experience. You've come and helped us with Team Flower workshops. And I just, I'm excited to talk with you today. I think that there are maybe some people in our listening audience that are maybe an event planner that are considering flowers, or they're in flowers and they're thinking, maybe I should go that route of being more full service. So I just wanted to talk about you and your story today, and hopefully give some clarity to some people who might be considering that jump. And so those are my thoughts. What do you think?
I'm excited. I think it'll be fun.
So you started Ashton Events as an event planner. Tell us a little bit about your history before that and how you got into it. And I also want to know why you love event planning.
Yeah, absolutely. So I moved down to Florida about 10 years ago. And I, in college, kind of figured out that I love event planning. It was a pretty natural fit for me. I worked on a couple of events after my freshman year, and it just never felt like work. And that was a pretty good indication that this was a good thing to do. I've always enjoyed being a gatherer of people. I'm very much someone that enjoys being behind the scenes. I have a big family, and I just loved being with all of them, but just making sure that, you know, everybody was well taken care of and that the atmosphere was always enjoyable. That just was something that I was always aware of. And so event planning was just very well suited for that. There's a lot of problem solving day of and crunch time decisions that you have to make that I think they were just exciting to me. It didn't feel, I mean, it can feel stressful at times, but generally speaking, there's an adrenaline there that I really enjoy being able to navigate and advocate for clients and things like that. And I also love on event days when it's just such a team-oriented perspective on the day, working with vendors and working with our team for the client, just like with one major goal in mind. That's just such a fun aspect of event planning. So yeah, I figured out pretty young that I really enjoy event planning. I think I was a little unique in that. Then I started in the corporate world. And within about 6 months there, I just was really hungry for something more creative and a little bit more people oriented rather than logistics. And so that's when I took the leap to start Ashton Events.
Okay. And so what I hear you saying is that the things that are required for the type of business that you have. And of course, there's a lot of different ways to have a wedding planning business. And there's a lot of different ways to be a wedding planner and florist and all those kinds of things. But you have really kind of tapped into the things that have made you tick from the very beginning, which is something that I feel like has really helped you navigate all those little twists and turns that a business takes. Like, you can't change about yourself that you love to gather people. Like, that's just something that's like, that's in you that you really love. So if you happen to be listening and you're considering this, I just wanted to encourage you to kind of take a little bit of introspective time to see, well, do I like this crunch time piece? And do I feel comfortable or overwhelmed if I have to solve a lot of problems simultaneously in a short period of time? And like, do I like working with people? Like, do I have those skills? And am I willing to like learn how to better those skills? Those types of things. And Laura's also got this, something that I think makes her really special for her clients. She does have like almost like a mother's heart. Really, I think she just has this way of bringing comfort and care to any situation that she's in, has been my experience with her. She just carries a nice peace with her in times that are stressful and just has that really strong, like, I can do type of attitude. But yeah, let's talk a little bit more about what events are like what your experiences have been. Maybe like talk about Blake and Lisa, how you kind of launched into it, and then maybe a few other examples if you've got them and would like to share.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, I actually had one like pivotal wedding. It was before technically I started Ashton Events. I had worked a few weddings as an intern in college and I swore that I would never do weddings because they are pretty intense and you've got, you know, one day to make it happen and all of that. But I was in a season of just trying to figure out where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. And I met a couple that just kind of transformed and opened my eyes to what my skill set offers couples. Mm. And I think that that was mm-hmm. such a pivotal moment for me to be able to say, okay, like the bride and groom were just, they loved each other. They loved their families and their friends. They just wanted to be fully present day of. They cared about the atmosphere and telling people why they were there that day. And that's just struck a chord with me, the storytelling side of who they were and kind of what made them tick as a couple and trying to figure out, they were trying to figure out ways to just to tell that story on their wedding day. So it was so fun for me to be able to work with them. And I think that night, I'll never forget just the sense of like calm and peace I had of like, man, I love this and I am energized by it and I am exhausted, but I am just so inspired. And so I think that wedding in particular just kind of set the tone for wanting to jump in and take on more clients and more weddings specifically. And I think over the next year, I was saying yes to a lot of people that weren't technically my ideal client. And so while there aren't any stories that I would be scared to tell necessarily, there are certainly shortcomings that I saw in myself within that first year of just, man, the couples that really trust me and that I've established a strong foundation of trust with, those days are just remarkably different from days where there has been just, you know, more difficulty in the planning process and learning how to be okay with that and to not just say yes to everybody and really try and find the couples that I'm going to serve well and then match other brides up with other planners. Yeah, all of that was learning curves for sure. But we had another couple that really allowed me the creative freedom, and that one kind of opened my eyes to like, okay, like storytelling looks a lot different or could look a lot different. That was technically before Pinterest started. So there was just a lot less resources out there at the time. And so trying to figure out my niche and how I could serve couples well was, I mean, a struggle for the first 3 years of just, we were offering day of services, we were offering partial planning, and we were offering full service. So there were a lot of different types and a lot of hoops to jump through for each client just to make sure I was always staying on the same page with them.
Sure. What did you kind of over the course of the next several years after that, how did you navigate like which of those revenue streams you wanted to really press into and which ones you wanted to drop, and like were there different skill sets or different types of lifestyle things that were required for one but not the other, maybe that might help somebody who's trying to figure out, well, if I start this, do I try everything or do I try this one over here because it makes the most sense for where I am in life right now?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think for me, a lot of it goes back to kind of what you were saying about like figuring out who I am and then figuring out like how that translates into a company. One of the things that I think I've learned over the past 8 years of owning Ashton Events is that while Ashton Events is very much Laura Helm and very much who I am not Ashton Events. And so figuring out my identity from that and separating my personal, like my heart from the company was like a really big learning curve for me. And I think in that process, I figured out I am more introverted. I really like having a smaller book of business that I can be very intentional with each of those clients. We had a couple years that we were in the 30-ish weddings a year range of just planning, and I was exhausted and burned out. I didn't know my couples well enough to serve them excellently day of, and we got the job done and they were all married and that's all good, but I just wasn't enjoying it anymore. And taking a hard look at that to figure out, okay, financially, what does that mean from a business perspective? What does that mean? And I think that was when we dropped day of and partial planning and just went to full service clients, that was a really big leap for me. I had transitioned into offering design as well as planning and really focusing on the design side. I had a mentor at the time, Laura Casey Isaacson from Southern Weddings. And I had met with her and she just continued to say, you know, you've got this creative side of you that you're just not using, and clients will really appreciate that if you offer it to them well, and gave me a lot of confidence there to be able to figure out what that looks like and what that means. And I developed a process called our design narrative. And so that really opened the channel of communication for our clients. I am writing a narrative for them of what their day will feel like. And it helped me in figuring out how to lay out the framework and like the foundation of the process of what their wedding, like the planning process would look like for them with the different vendors that we bring in. but it also offered our clients something very tangible of what to expect on their wedding day. And that was a huge, like, that was a game changer, because all of a sudden I was tapping into this side of me that was like really hungry for more. And that gave me life and energy. And it also allowed us to work with clients who really needed that service. And I was able to charge more. So I was able to take less clients, and it just started to kind of naturally funnel down into kind of where we're at. So, or into, you know, the floral side of things, I guess. So yeah, that whole transition, that was like 2.5 years of like soul searching and trying to just keep treading water and figure out what I love and what I can serve our clients with.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Online Business Growth Class. If you're feeling overworked and underpaid, if you find yourself sacrificing time with family and friends to support a quickly growing flower business, this class is for you. If left unchecked, business growth can lead to feelings of overwhelm and burnout. But what if I told you there was another way? The topics covered in this comprehensive class will allow you to skip the season of confusion that often accompanies growth and rediscover what a healthy work-life balance looks like. In this class, we'll take a deep dive into your business to pinpoint frustrations, spot opportunities for streamlining, and identify those strengths that will help you transition and launch to the next phase. We'll also walk through new revenue streams, hiring, online advertising, and even give you videos that you can use to train your staff on the basics. If you're ready to learn how to work less and get paid, you can join online at teamflower.org/online.
I think for me, the big takeaway in what you're saying is that it just keeps coming back to that, for it to be something that can carry on, to like be able to get through seasons of burnout, there just needs to be, you know, maybe a pause in some regard where you can figure out what is it that is really, that I'm really well suited to do. Because whenever we start straying away from whatever that thing is, it does feel overwhelming. And being an entrepreneur is difficult.
Yeah.
It's also very fun, but it's very difficult. There's a lot of different things that you have to consider, and they all those pieces have to really click in together to be able to keep something going and to be able to have it be something that is life-giving for everybody who is a part of it. You had mentioned about how Ashton Events is very much Laura Helm, but that you had to go through this process of separating yourself from the company a little bit. I know you've hired a lot of team. I'm wondering if that's kind of happened in the process where when you started bringing some people on, it got a little tricky, or you felt like that was the need that you needed to do that. Can you just talk a little bit more about that process and kind of the thoughts that you were thinking, and just any realizations or revelations that you had in that process about separating?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think for me, I'm a perfectionist. I think a lot of people in our industry are perfectionists, and they love being able to do things excellently and do things very well. And so for me, anytime there was a failure, whether or not the client knew about it or not, you know, there were little things that go wrong on an event day that would spiral me of just like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Or there was a curveball there that I could have navigated better. And of course, hindsight's 20/20. And so it's much easier to be hard on yourself on the flip side. And so having mentors for me was a huge part of that. Having people that were speaking into my life. I saw a counselor to kind of talk through my own personal development side of that. I had a business mentor that was just, he'd never even stepped into the wedding industry, but he was a business mentor and talked through more of the financial side with me. And then obviously Laura was really helpful as well. And I think it was so important to have other people giving me feedback and asking me some of the questions that I didn't know that I was struggling with, and then give me words in those conversations that said like, oh, that's what you mean, or this is how I could handle it. And they were the ones, specifically the business mentor was the one that really encouraged me to focus on like the financial side of figuring out how to charge, what I charge, et cetera. And then from there, expanding my team quickly, just because there is so much work to be done. So.
Absolutely. You had mentioned about how, you know, whenever you do have to make a lot of rapid fire decisions on the day, and then even leading up to it, there's so much planning that you do, and you're doing that planning with the goal of not having some kind of emergency breakdown or something that day, right? Yeah. You know, like that's where that like, oh, let's review thing comes in, because we're trying to prevent some kind of meltdown. And it is so true that you can think to the point where you have like this decision fatigue or paralysis, almost in a way where you can't work as quickly or as efficiently. And this, I think, depends a lot on your personality type, but just like, oh, well, I should have done this or I should have done that. Like, do you think that, like, to what extent is that kind of like after, we called them when I was in corporate event planning, after action review meetings? And I just wonder, like, if you feel like that kind of, if you looked back a couple of years, like what you would tell yourself now, or if you feel like those things are helpful, or if you feel like it's just good to move on to the next thing, like where's that line of it being like actually helpful to the forward motion of your business versus being crippling and just this place that you sit that you're just like, oh,
yeah,
you're afraid to make choices.
Yeah. So we actually have a tagline for our company, and it's grit, grace, and gumption. And I think that that combination, those three things have become imperative for us as a team and how we navigate the hard spots, because there's a lot of hard work that's going into it, which is where the grit comes into play of just everybody schleps in this industry, and there's a lot of hard work there. But then you need a lot of grace for yourself and for your team. And I think knowing that there's nothing you can do about it in hindsight, as far as like, I can't beat myself up or be ashamed of what I've done or like how we navigated the decision. I just have to have like the gumption or the courage to be able to say, okay, so what actual takeaways, like what things could go better? Like how could we tweak the timeline to better help that vendor in the future, or things that are actually tangible? Because generally speaking, there's just a lot of stress that day that you're navigating. And so you could beat yourself up for hours on those smallest of details. But I think for us as a team, we just, that's like a mantra that we have worked through and take with us day of, to be able to serve both the client and the vendors and our team well. And just being able to say like, hey, you know what? Things are going to go wrong and we're going to figure it out. And I mean, we're talking little things. So generally, I mean, obviously we just had a wedding a couple weeks ago where the wind was just a nightmare. But yeah, just figuring out how to navigate that is important. And having an idea of the mentality that we're taking into the day has been really helpful.
You had mentioned specifically like that question that you asked yourself, like maybe it sounded like, you know, potentially there could be something with the vendor where maybe they didn't have enough time and there was an issue and they weren't able to pull through as they had planned, or they were upset, or, you know, something like that can happen. And you just said, you know, is there a specific way, you know, that I can adjust the timeline for the future or whatever? And then I just wonder, like, when you have to kind of go back and, you know, I think the fear when that something like that happens is like, oh, I didn't do it right. They're upset with me. I failed. This happens in flowers all the time. That's why I wanted to just press into it a little bit more. We get afraid, I feel like, to go back to the person and say, hey, I just wanted to let you know, evaluated the weekend. I felt like this was an area that we could have done better on. I just wanted to let you know that like I've adjusted our process and our timeline to make sure that we're able to do this better in the future. Like I loved our experience together. I'm sorry it was a little stressful, but just want to let you know, like, we're on it. And I just feel like those kinds of little things could make a big difference.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that there's a transparency aspect for us that if we are honest with the vendors of like, man, you know what? We should have, like, one example was the one that I was actually thinking of. We had a vendor who the venue had just said, you know, it would have been really helpful if, you know, this vendor had arrived, you know, 30 minutes later than the other one. And I was like, I had never thought about it from a venue perspective like that. And it just builds trust and respect, I think, to be able to go back and offer the feedback and offer like, hey, I'm very open to critique and working better together. And it just, again, it just goes back to establishing trust, because you are dependent on them. Like there's not a way for me to do the event without them. Mm-hmm. And then you're enjoying mm-hmm. the experience so much more because you're less hesitant the next time to speak up and say something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is an interesting work dynamic whenever you have a lot of different people who are part of the day and everybody has their own stress that they're working with. But I remember I forget how far into it I was, but I, you know, was just the stress had become so much that I was physically sick, couldn't keep carrying on. And I remember having this sort of almost like a detoxification process where I had taken a step back. I had really, really brought my stress level down a lot. And I walked back into that type of environment and situation. And if there isn't a strong leader like Alara that's there, that's really not only maintaining the atmosphere for the couple, but also for the vendors that are putting it together. I find that if an event planner is very overwhelmed or stressed, those are the days that I just feel like I'm, you know, swirling, or that it's really difficult to ground it. But I realized after I came back from that process that I could be that person in the group, even if there wasn't one. And, you know, I'm carrying flowers, which are peaceful and beautiful. And like, I can carry peace into those situations too. Any of us can, no matter what our role is inside of the wedding. But I just, I don't know. I just felt like we should talk about that a little bit, about how we can shift the atmosphere of the places that we're in with our attitudes and with the, I don't know, just the comfort that we're able to bring to the situation. Do you have any further thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I love that. I think one of my all-time favorite songs is by Sarah Groves, and the song is called Add to the Beauty.
I love her.
And I think that is, mm-hmm. that has been like a life song for me for years. And I think that is very much what I get to do for on a daily basis. Like, it's just a blast to be able to, I mean, now that we're doing flowers too, like we get to add to the beauty in that way, but just exactly what you're saying of, we get to shift the environment and navigate that stress and be advocates for our clients. And that is just such a privilege for sure.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Arbor and Ceremony Online Class. In this comprehensive course, we'll cover all the essentials for ceremony designs, arbors, and large-scale arrangements. We'll talk garlands, entry arrangements, metal and fabric arbors, wreaths, and more. After this course, you'll be ready for all those large-scale requests a bride shoots your way. Together, we'll dive deep into mechanics and discover tried and true tricks to keep your blooms happy and hydrated and your arrangements steady and secure. We'll also share pricing and supplies on all the pieces we create so you're equipped to price your own designs profitably. Say goodbye to intimidation. Large scale is not such a big deal after all. With these tools and techniques in your tool bag, you'll be whipping up unique ceremony configurations in no time. Head over to teamflower.org/online to learn more.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you had mentioned about being an advocate for your client, which really is something that stood out to me. There's a lot of different ways that we can go about our business. And there's a lot of different things that are competing for our attention, or I don't know, just even some lies that maybe we believe that we have to do it this way, or it won't be successful, or we have to really make, you know, that we're the look of it, or the, I don't know, just these little details where if they aren't perfect or whatever, they just like come to the forefront and they take over that advocacy piece for the client. Like, I don't know, I was listening to a podcast the other day, completely unrelated to flowers, but another sort of design-ish related podcast. And it was kind of like this attitude, well, this client, you know, threw up their hands because they knew that they, you know, that I was going to win anyway. I forget how it was said, which is, I don't know. There's just, I guess the point that I'm just trying to make is that we have an opportunity to do it a different way. And we have an opportunity to really love people through flowers. And I found myself doing exactly what that podcaster's, like, I'll be the first person to tell you that whenever I was first getting started and figuring it out, like I did it the way that I saw other people doing it. And I let those types of things, I cared deeply about my clients, but I would find myself, you know, really kind of obsessing over these things that were just related to back how it reflected on me or the type of look that I was going for rather than loving people. And I remember having this moment where I was just like feeling like something's off. What is it? And I was like, oh, you're being really icky, right? You're being really icky right now, Kelly. Like, and that was such a huge turning point for me and just shifted everything. And it was interesting how even just that shift of walking into alignment with something that's good and kind brought so much peace into the business and really pushed things ahead more than any kind of perfectly styled image on a website ever could.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ever could. So I love that advocacy piece. How would you say that you are an advocate for your clients? Like, what are some specific things that you feel like mark that for you?
That's a great question. I think for me, what I have found, most of our clients, generally speaking, both of them are working full time. Both of them have strong relationships with their families, and they, generally speaking, they love creativity, but they either don't have time to do it themselves or they don't know where to start. And I think that combination for us of walking with people that are just hungry for a fun celebration, but also want it to be purposeful. Figuring that piece out was a big one. But I think in that process, what we found is our process is tailored to serve them well in that season of life. So we have client management software that we use that gives them 24/7 access that when they come home from work every day, they always have a pulse and the ability to kind of check in and get instant feedback on where they're at with the process. But it also gives me the freedom to be done at 5. So that's a big part of it. I think establishing consistency was a big part of it, of figuring out, okay, if I promise them every 2 weeks, a 30-minute conversation, whether or not we need 30 minutes or not, they know that I have my ear and you're just establishing a rhythm and trust there. That was a big one.
That's
good. But also just from the way that we've crafted the process, there's a lot of collaboration that they get to have without feeling overwhelmed, that there's, you know, a few options offered with my suggestion kind of behind it. And then they get to kind of navigate from there what suits them best. Or if we suggest something and it clicks, like, oh, that's my grandma's glassware. Like, yes, we want that. You know, those little moments that we really get to know them very, very well. And we know, I mean, for me, I always tell people, like, I want to know that your grandma has a hearing aid in her right ear. Like, I know that sounds insane, but it just allows me day of to love your family like I'm part of it. And I think by being able to have fewer clients now, we do about somewhere between 8 to 10 events a year. And it is hard for me at the end of the wedding because I know that I'm losing this bride to, you know, the next season of her life. And it's just such a joy to get to walk through that like little tiny snippet of time with them that they're just excited. And I want to keep them in that, you know, the eagerness and the excitement stage during the planning process as much as we can.
I love that. You had talked about the platform that they can log into or some method of communication where they can always have that pulse, but where your schedule and your rhythm is established. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That was a big turning point for us. I mean, I'll be candid. We use Aisle Planner and I have for, I don't know, we were one of the very first people to jump on board. I just love Christina and everything that she's done. But Aisle Planner is super helpful in the fact that I'm able to, it handles everything from a very comprehensive standpoint, like the budget, layouts, guest count, and then all of our communication takes place on that. And it's all vendor based and like categorized. So anything pertaining to the photographer goes in that section. And anything pertaining to stationery goes in that section. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the things that's unique in the event industry is that you'll book a photographer and not talk to them for 6 more months until we're getting ready for the wedding. And so by having all of that categorized, it just streamlines both us and them of giving us like reminders of why we did what we did at the very beginning 8 months ago, or what decision we made, you know, at the beginning, to be able to help make sure that we're all on the same page.
Really good. Well, before we wrap up here today, Laura, is there anything else that you might like to share with listeners today who are considering adjusting or adding some services to their current business.
So I think for me in adding floral design, when we were starting that, it gave me more life than I ever thought possible. Adding floral design allowed my creative side to really flourish. And it also allowed me to hire somebody who loves the black and white details. And that adjustment was a big gift that I didn't even know that I needed. So my assistant really enjoys the check boxes and like the task lists and all of that. And I've always done them because they're necessary, but I haven't ever really enjoyed them the way that she does. And so that aspect of being able to expand our team by adding flowers in was a huge gift. And then it also just allowed us to, hone in on the clients that we really can serve well. I think one of the biggest things for us is knowing that if we're evaluating our priorities and we're looking at where we want to be for our company and how we want to grow, that's going to help us navigate, the next season. And I think in entrepreneurship, business changes every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Like it does.
Business plans change all the time. So just figuring out as a team where you want to go is just imperative. And I think knowing that I want the business to work for me and I don't want to work for the business, and figuring out ways to do that was really helpful.
Very good. Well, Laura, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure to be here. It was so much fun.
Great to have you, Laura. We'll see you again soon. And to all of you who are out there listening, thanks for joining us today on the Team Flower Podcast.
If you enjoyed today's episode of the Team Flower Podcast, would you help us by leaving a rating and review? The more ratings and reviews, the easier it is for other flower lovers to find the podcast. Thanks for being a part of Team Flower and helping us build this dream together. We're so grateful.